Our text for this Thanksgiving Day message comes from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. We pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I know that the bulletin picture this morning is not your typical cornucopia that you see on a Thanksgiving worship bulletin. But as we get into the message, you will see the reason that we have that Sylvania on the front of your bulletin. Now, I don't know about you, and if I didn't know better, I would think that the Holy Spirit had a prophetic word here in Romans for the American Thanksgiving. I mean, turkeys, Arizona Cardinals, Philadelphia Eagles, Detroit Lions, Tennessee Titans, Seattle Seahawks, and Dallas Cowboys. Images. And what does our TV give us? Images. Images resembling mortal man and birds and animals. It's Thanksgiving in America. And for the most part, Americans have exchanged the glory of God. And the idea of glory, the glory of God, by the way, is when you give glory to God, you give weight to him. That's the idea. You give weight to him. You know, he far outweighs anything in the universe. But that's the idea of glory. It's connected with weight. And it seems that, you know, the weight that we give on Thanksgiving either comes from what we eat on the table or the point spread between the Cowboys and the Seahawks. That's what we're giving weight to these days. But that's the reality of this holiday in our country. You know, it's become a time for family gatherings with very little thought to the God who created us and put us in families. In fact, if you asked most people today, they would probably tell you that they don't really believe that they were fearfully and wonderfully made, but rather that they fearfully and wonderfully emerged from something resembling the giblet gravy. That's the reality of it. On this holiday, we eat enough food in one house to feed half of Haiti. And then we're off to an afternoon of watching the gods battle each other on the gridiron between bouts of gluttony-induced sleep. That's Thanksgiving in America. And then early the next morning, we're off to the mall to satisfy yet another God in America, the God of materialism. That's Thanksgiving in America. But you know what? It doesn't do any good for me to stand up here and curse the dark meat, does it? It doesn't do any good at all. And it doesn't do any good to play the role of the Pharisee and walk around, oh, I'm so thankful that I don't celebrate Thanksgiving like my neighbors do. That doesn't do anything either. Rather, I need to light a candle, don't I? Rather than curse the dark meat. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I'm just tickled pink that you have taken time out on this day to come and worship the Lord and give thanks to Him. Because it's a great way to light that candle, to get your Thanksgiving kick-started, and to get you to get things in the right perspective for the rest of your day today. Because I want you to know, hey, it's okay to be with family. And it's okay to watch the football games. And it's okay to go shopping. But just always remember when what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us here in this reading from Romans of the necessity of giving thanks. Don't forget where all this stuff came from. Don't forget to give thanks. And if you read the rest of Romans here, it's frightening what happens to a people who stop giving thanks to God. Right down the sewer. Very important. Never, ever stop giving thanks. I mean, we have it so good in this country. We've had it so good for so long that, you know, we take everything for granted. Where did all that food come from? Who supplied the good weather to raise those crops? Who made the very soil that they grow out of? Who provided the natural resources to make that tractor that the farmer used to harvest the crop, that the truck used to bring the crop for processing and then to the grocery store? You know, it's a good exercise just to sit down at the table and trace back your food. And thank the Lord for it every step of the way, where it came from the packaging, you know, all the way to the soil, to the seed of the soil. It all comes from the Lord. How did you get to the store to pick up your groceries? Your car. Or you don't have a car? You walk. Okay, where'd you get the shoes? You know, you can be thankful for your shoes. How'd you pay for your food? Thank you, Lord. What are you eating it on? Your hands? Plates, table, furniture. So many things to be thankful for. Oh, wait, was that a furnace I just heard kick in? Oh, how nice to be able to eat a nice meal with no worry about what the temperature is on the outside. Oh, thank you, Lord. And do you realize what a miracle it is to take a plug and put it into the wall and be able to carve a turkey? Or to turn on a TV set to watch the gods battle inside of a domed stadium? Oh, which is a miracle in itself. I mean, you just can't stop. There's one right after another. The truth is that we would have none of this without God. None of it without God. And Colossians 1, 16, 17 says, all things were created through Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Boy, I got thinking about that. All things hold together. And it says all things. Was anything left off of that list? Is it all things except the widescreen TV? Is it all things except the turkey? No, it's all things. And if Jesus wouldn't hold them together, they'd be gone. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, Jesus would just say, you know, I'm so tired of people forgetting that, you know, I'm holding all things together. Then I'm not hearing the thanks that I should be getting. Wouldn't it be so cool if he just decided to make his point some Thanksgiving and blast the butterball all over the place? Or splatter the Sylvania. There's the reason why we have that on the front of the bulletin. He holds all things together. He has the power to do that if he wanted to. We're told that he is to be before all things. That means he is to have the preeminence over all things. He holds it all together. He holds you together. He holds I together. He holds your health together. He holds your spiritual life together. And Thanksgiving is about Jesus, isn't it? It's about Jesus. Without him holding it together, we have nothing. And as much as it is within our power, we should choose to express our thanks to him today. And really, not just today, but 365 days out of the year. Every moment, be thankful. Be a thankful people. When you're thankful, you can't put God out of the picture. He's there. But what is it to give thanks? Thanks, God. Bye. Is that it? Is that all there's to it? It's very interesting because one of the Greek words used for thanksgiving is eulogeo. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. Now, what word do you suppose in the English language we use from eulogeo? How about eulogy? Eulogy. How fitting. We're so blessed here at Living Word. How fitting that we have that reminder for us on Thanksgiving Day. This is a place where eulogies are given all the time. You know? It goes to show you again what a... You know, the more we meet here, the more I begin to think what a blessing this is. We're always, first of all, reminded to die to ourselves because we're in a funeral home, and there's a great reminder right there. And now we have this reminder to always give thanks. Eulogeo. Eulogies. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. What is a eulogy? It's a speech that speaks the praises of the one being eulogized. Now, it has come to mean, to be associated with death. But in the biblical sense, it is the high praises of the high living God. Our God is to be eulogized. When Simeon held baby Jesus in his arms, he eulogized God. That's what he did. He sang the high praises of the Most High God. Our God's not dead. Our God's alive. And we need to speak his high praises. And this is a day that we have an opportunity to do that. And what I would like us to do this morning, to get our thanksgiving off to a good start, is to eulogize God. To eulogize Jesus. There's plenty of room on your bulletins. I'm going to hand out some pens for you. I just want you to write down some things that speak of his high praises. Things that he has done for you in this past year, in your life. Things that he has done in his church. Things that he has done throughout history. Speak his praises, his high praises. Eulogize the Lord Most High. And then after about 5 minutes or so, we'll ask you for volunteers to come up and speak their eulogies. I understand that not everyone's going to feel comfortable doing that, so we're not going to sit there and demand that you come up. I mean, I've done enough funerals where people, I know, they're just very uncomfortable coming up, and so we're not going to do that. But you know what? I've also done enough funerals to see people that can't wait. because that person meant so much to them in their lives. And so we want to give you that opportunity to come up and eulogize God.